How y'all doing today? Welcome to The Howl, a podcast for Solo Slobos and friends alike on the Alpine campus. We sit and talk with the who's who of SRSU about events, departments, anything on brand, anything happening at the university. And we're really excited and thankful that you are joining in to learn how we're far from ordinary. So this is our first episode we have for this semester. It's been really cool kind of doing these things and learning about staff on campus. We're expanding our boundaries here, going into upper administration, into faculty, into people that have been here for a very long time and have a wealth of knowledge about Sol Ross. And it's just fascinating to talk with them. But this first episode here, we got to sit and talk with the athletic director, Amanda Workman. It's been a really interesting semester, a lot of changes, but a really great air about the campus. And a lot of that is largely due to the fact that we have progressed to our next provisional year in Division II, the Lone Star Conference for NCAA. And you can just really feel within the atmosphere on campus just this lightness, this motivation, connection with students and with faculty and staff. There's a cohesive culture on campus. And I believe largely a lot of that has to do with our athletics and just the spirit of that. And Amanda Workman's been really pushing the way. And it was really a pleasure talking with her. We talked about her upbringing. We talked about her coming from a small town, attending West Texas A&M, which is now one of our teams that we play in the conference. The first game of the season with football was actually against West Texas A&M. She talks about, you know, how surreal that is coming up from that. Talked about mentorships, talked about what we have in store with athletics this upcoming year, our coaches. And it was a really nice conversation. I probably wasn't the best interviewer that day, but she was very gracious and very humble and just a pleasure to talk with. And so I hope you enjoy this conversation that I have with Athletic Director Amanda Workman. We're going to take a quick break and hear from one of our sponsors, but Amanda will be up right after that.
Hi, my name is Mary, and I am one of the counselors here at Sol Ross State University in our Counseling and Accessibility Services office. In our office, we offer individual counseling, group counseling, we set up accommodations for students with disabilities, and we serve as a campus contact for both on and off campus referrals and resources. If you find yourself in a bind and you're not sure where to go, step into our office, Ferguson Hall, room 112. We'll either have the answer or know where to send you. You have chosen to attend a relatively small university in a small West Texas town. And with that, a unique setting where we make it our business to look out for each other. Students here are encouraged to check in with classmates, neighbors, and acquaintances. It is this practice that sets us apart from other campuses and larger universities. It is not uncommon to have a student walk a student into the counseling office when concerned. If you are coming from a larger city, you might be accustomed to more programmed ways of responding and interacting. Out here, we make the time to pause, engage, and question. We hope that you find that this value is built into the fabric of our way of life. If you are a newcomer to West Texas, we welcome you to our region, and we hope that you too assimilate into our shared values of looking out for each other. Welcome to the last frontier. Welcome to the Counseling and Accessibility Services Office at Sol Ross State University.
Welcome back to The Howl. I'm here today with Amanda Workman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, glad to have you. Glad to have you on the show and to talk about athletics and things like that. But before we get into athletics, Sol Ross, and all that fun stuff, what a little more about you. I like sort of talking with our staff and our administration and our faculty and stuff and just seeing how you got started up, you know, from very humble beginnings. So, you know, let's go right into the weeds. From like you know, maybe just starting up, growing up, what was life like for you?
Absolutely. I grew up in Post, Texas, not too terribly far from here. My entire family still lives there, so I am the Lone Ranger that busted out, I guess. But I really enjoyed growing up in Post. It was a wonderful community. We were the Bold Gold Antelopes, and I enjoyed being a Bold Gold Antelope my whole entire life.
Gold Antelope.
The Bold Gold Antelopes, yeah. It was very fun. Grew up doing all kinds of things like you do in a small town, really involved in a lot of different activities, athletics being one of them, UIL academics, those types of things. Really got a wide range of experience. I am a first generation student, but for some reason, and I've had this conversation with my parents over the years, I always felt very inspired to get a degree. And I'm not really entirely certain where that came from, but I was very determined to do that. So I went through high school and I graduated, and I graduated on a Friday night and moved to Midland to go to Midland College. And I started summer classes on a Monday. So I left the day after graduation and took 12 hours of summer school. I was very ambitious and really wanting to get a jump start on that. And I actually studied psychology. I got an associate's degree from Midland College and then transferred to West Texas A&M. And I was actually at West Texas A&M in all different kinds of capacities for 16 years prior to coming here. So I finished my bachelor's degree there and pursued a master's degree. And I worked in a couple of different offices on campus before landing in athletics, but athletics was never really the intention.
Yeah.
It just kind of opened up for me. And at one point in my career, I went and had a conversation with the athletic director and asked him for a job. I did not know him. I just knew that I loved athletics and wanted to maybe pursue a career in athletics. And thankfully, he hired me. And I spent 12 years working with him at West Texas A&M and learning all different kinds of things. We got to do some really cool things there. We built a $42 million football stadium, which was a really neat experience. I was primarily a fundraiser and got to do a lot of capital projects and capital campaigns and things like that. And then this position opened up, and my AD at the time said, "You really need to look at Sol Ross." And I was like, "I don't know if I'm ready to leave." But here we are. So apparently I did, and I'm really glad that I did. It's been a wonderful experience.
That's fantastic. Wow. I love very, you know, very compact story there, and just one thing leading to another and to, you know, wonderful opportunities. So coming back, so you got your associate's in psychology. What'd you get for your bachelor's?
The same, yes. I have an associate's bachelor's and master's in psychology, and I am currently getting a doctorate in educational leadership.
Fantastic. Really great. How do you, maybe looking back from your time, you know, graduation into your career and into this point, how do you feel that psychology has sort of informed and led you through this path now? How has it sort of benefited you? What insight has it given you?
You know, there was a time when I was, you know, in school and people would say, "What are you going to do with a psychology degree?" And my response always was, "No matter what you do, you work with people."
Right.
So having a better understanding of people never hurts. And one of the things that I think really benefits me now is that there's a really kind of a mental health crisis going on with college athletes right now. The NCAA puts a really big emphasis on the mental health of student athletes, and I'm actually starting a program. The first session is in a couple of weeks, but I'm starting a director's academy this year that student athletes can attend, and we're going to talk about, you know, character development, mental health, how to reframe some of the things that we think about, and what the future looks like for student athletes, because the transition out of athletics can also be really difficult for students who have really been invested in that. So I think that every single day I use my psychology degree in some way, because I'm just very grateful for the opportunity to interact with and impact so many people, staff, faculty, and students every single day.
I love that. I love the amount of thought and empathy and understanding, especially just from a leadership perspective, that's kind of residing within the athletic department, and having that foresight and that that ability to kind of look within and to, you know, really care for the people around you. I think that's really cool.
Well, thank you. We've worked really hard throughout my time here. When I first came, everybody was kind of closed off. Everybody kind of kept to themselves. staff-wise, people kept their doors closed. You know, it was very siloed off. And in their defense, I came in the middle of COVID. And so I understand where that came from. But we've worked really hard to become very open. And my office is a revolving door. There's people in and out of there all day long, which I love. I have conversations with student athletes, with student coaches, graduate assistants, coaches, administrators all day. And they're my favorite part of the job. The people that walk through the door, even when they walk through the door because they have a problem, I'm still, in my mind, the people are the mission. And if there were not students here on this campus, none of us would have a job. And so the fact that I have the capacity to serve them every single day is one of the most fascinating things to me. And it really truly is what gets me up in the morning and gets me to work every single day.
Love that. Love that service mentality. All about that. Really cool. Going from your master's and, going out into West Texas A&M, being staff on there. So you went right into the athletic department. Did you maybe spend a year here, a year over there?
I did. Okay. So when I was a student, I actually worked in the Panhandle Plains Historical Museum.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely loved that job. It was the greatest student job of all time. We got to do lots of homework, and we also got to greet all the visitors. I worked the admissions desk, and so I got to, check people in as they came, and people were so excited to come. People came from all over the world to visit that museum, so that was a really neat experience. Mm-hmm. And then when I became a graduate student, I worked in the admissions office on the records side of admissions. And I actually, for about a year and a half of my life, sent every single acceptance letter, deny letter, incomplete letter that West Texas A&M sent for a really long time. Nice. And so that was kind of fun. Cool. And then I transitioned into the foundation. As I was finishing up graduate school, they had a graduate position open that they alluded to the fact could turn into a full-time position. And so I made that change not long before I graduated and became a graduate assistant there. And I was actually scanning the instruments that scholarships are written on because they were all in paper files at the time. And so I created the database that they have basically. And I learned how to work within the database that they had. And then towards the end of I hadn't actually graduated with my master's yet, but they offered me a full-time position as the donor relations coordinator. And I graduated in December of 2009, and the economy was really, really, really bad at that time, and jobs were really difficult to come by. And I think much of what our students experience as well, that first job is really very difficult to get because we spend our time in school and we don't have a lot of work experience. So sometimes getting that foot in the door is really difficult. So I was grateful for that opportunity. I was also, while I was finishing my master's, I was teaching psychology classes, and I really enjoyed that. Carried over being a part-time instructor into my professional life. And I was the donor relations coordinator for just under a year. And I was really wanting to kind of spread my wings and do a little bit more than what the responsibility that I had was. And that's kind of what led me over to athletics. I had a friend who was a coach in the department, and I was just having a conversation with him one time, and I said, hey, this is what I think I could do. This is what I'm really interested in. And he said, you should go talk to the athletic director and tell him those things. And as I stated before, I did that, and he created a position for me. So I feel like I have a little bit, my toe has been in a lot of waters, I guess, in higher education. And I also think sometimes that people really sell athletics short in some ways, in the fact that we have a large range of knowledge because we actually deal with almost every department on campus. Mm-hmm. And so we work directly with alumni. We work directly with the foundation. We work directly with admissions and financial aid and all those different types of departments. And so that's really fun for me too, is that our job is highly collaborative. Mm-hmm. And we get the opportunity to learn from a lot of different groups of people and work with different groups of people.
Absolutely. And foundational.
Yes.
I mean, as we'll talk about later, just with our student body here at Sol Ross, it's a pivotal sort of central point of this university. And that's wonderful. Cool. So getting started with this new position that's been created, especially for you coming in, what was your experience there? Did it provide any new insight, or did it provide any additional experience as you went through the years and then you heard about this full full-on athletic director position?
It did. Athletics is a bit of a shock to people who are not exposed to it. I grew up being an athlete in high school. I never competed in college, but I competed in high school. And one of my very favorite things to do was to cheer at football games on the sideline. Like, I fell in love with sports, watching football games from the sidelines as a cheerleader in Post, Texas. And that energy is really, really amazing. But what most people don't understand is the amount of hours and time that people who work in athletics put into athletics, because we not only have the normal 8-to-5 job that everybody else has, we have a lot of it after hours and weekends, positional work. And I remember my athletic director saying, "Do you understand that, you know, you're going to work a whole lot?" And I was just so excited, you know, that I didn't really care. And then I was like, oh, he wasn't kidding. You really do work all the time. It kind of becomes a part of your life. But I think that's one of the valuable things. And so when I first started working over there, my title was Assistant Athletic Director for Public Relations and Marketing. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing a lot of the game day operational stuff. I was sending out emails, you know, the weekly emails that say, this is the events that we have going on. And I was getting to know people. And then in my second year, I transitioned to being over the booster club and the corporate sponsorships. And so I did that for probably 5 or 6 years, where that was my primary responsibility. And then I transitioned, and what I left as was the senior associate athletic director for external relations. And so I had a number of different departments underneath me, or functions underneath me, where I was doing a lot of the fundraising, but I was also overseeing the fundraising and the communications, tickets, all those types of things. My athletic director described it as everything that you see, feel, or experience in a game. We were building towards that. And so that was a really unique opportunity. And then, as I said before, he really let me be very involved in the design and implementation and the meetings of building the football stadium. And that was a really very unique experience that was really fun. All the finishes that are in that, the tile, the, you know, all the finishes, I got to pick all those things out. And so that's my legacy. One of these days I'm going to take my son through there and I'm going to say, you see that tile right there? I picked that out. But no, sincerely, that was a really unique opportunity. But what I really appreciated about my former athletic director, and what I try to do as an athletic director, is he invited me into a lot of rooms that I had no business in. And he let me sit at a lot of tables with a lot of people that I wasn't really high caliber enough or experienced enough to sit at, but that's how I learned. I got thrown into the deep end in many situations, and I try to invite people to have those experiences, because one of the, I believe that experience is what prepared me to be an athletic director. I was fascinated by the business of athletics, because there's so many different entities. You report to a national office, a conference office, an internal office, the president's office. You report to all these different entities, and then you have all these external people. You have alumni, you have fans, you have boosters. It's just a really large organization, and I wanted to know how tickets worked and how the business side ran and how compliance worked and all those things, and he allowed me to do that. And so I feel like I had a really well-rounded experience coming into this position.
That's so cool. You can definitely see the passion, and, you know, I'm glad that you had a mentor who really invested that, and, you know, whether it was throwing you in the deep end or, some sort of imparting of, you know, wisdom or techniques or, you know, practices and standards and things like that. That's just crucial, you know, within the professional life of wanting to grow in a specific career and things like that. And yeah, that's fantastic. And props to them. What was their name?
Michael McBroom. He was the athletic director at WT for over 20 years, and he actually just became the athletic director at SFA.
Okay, well, shout out, Michael.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Really cool, really cool. And just out of curiosity, so what sport did you start out with?
That I played? Yes. Myself? I played basketball for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Track was my absolute favorite sport. I was also a power lifter, which is random. But I loved that as well.
I mean,
you gotta lift weights to be an athlete, right?
Must. How else will they know?
Exactly. But we didn't have a lot of sports for women at the time. I'm really grateful that they've expanded that since I left. But those are the sports that we had for women, and I competed in all of them.
Mm-hmm. Really cool.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I love that outlook there, and I love that moving into our current position, but we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with Amanda Working. Cool.
I love it.
And we're back with Athletic Director Amanda Workman. All right. So let's talk about your current position, running the show, the big honcho on campus. What are your current responsibilities as Athletic Director of Sul Ross State University?
That's a tough question to answer. I don't feel like the head honcho. There's most days I'm looking behind me to figure out who's in charge, and then I realize it's me, and I'm like, oh goodness.
Yeah, got you.
We're doing this. Mostly I deal with day-to-day operations and, you know, helping people with any kind of issues that they have, helping them navigate any kind of issues that they have on campus or with other athletic directors. I have, my position has really changed a lot since I've been here. When I first came here, it was focused more on daily operations and making sure everything was running smoothly and getting game days up to par and things like that. And it's really expanded into a much larger role. Like the amount of meetings that I have now is crazy to me, but I'm just involved in a lot of different things, which I love. It's giving me a wealth of experience. But on a daily basis, I feel like there's probably, you know, 5 to 10 people in my office throughout the day at any time with some kind of an issue that they need some assistance on. And I may get a phone call from an athletic director in the conference that has a question about something that they're trying to do. This morning, I was having some conversations about people becoming sponsors of the athletic program, talking to our broadcaster about sitting down with our football coach to talk a little bit more about our game schematics, just so that he understands those things a little bit better. And then I serve on a lot of committees and in a lot of capacities on campus, which is fun for me, as I said before. Just helping with all of those different things. I'm very strategic by nature, and so I'm always trying to come up with a strategy for us to make things better. So while I have the daily operations running in the background, I'm always trying to dream a little bigger and think of other things that we can do. Like I said, I'm doing the Director's Academy this year, and I'm really excited about that. So working on topics and things for that to make that a good experience. Hopefully for our student athletes, they're in and out of the office eating candy off my desk all day long too, which is really fun. But just talking about things that will make us better as a department. So I feel like one of my key roles is to create vision and to create standards and to uphold those standards for the athletic department. And that's a lot of what we do on a daily basis.
Got you. Well, sounds like you got your hands full.
It's a strange role. It touches a lot of different things, but I think that's what I like about it. I've been doing this for 15 years, and I'm not bored yet. So
that's very special.
I'll take it. Yeah, yes.
Absolutely. I know we have assistant ADs on campus. Who are those?
Clayton Garcia is our assistant athletic director for compliance. He makes sure that we're following the rules all the time, and he also helps a lot with game operations. And then Coach Troy Canaba is the head softball coach, but he also serves as an assistant athletic director for operations. And he helps with one of the things that is a little bit overwhelming to me as an AD, that because this is the area that I didn't have experiences, is maintaining facilities and making sure that we're, you know, taking care of things as they break and replacing things like that. And so that's kind of what he oversees. And then we have our head athletic trainer, Rachel Gillespie. She is also the senior woman administrator, and so she serves in an administration capacity as well.
Got you. Cool. So that's the team.
That's the team.
Fantastic. And then all of our coaches.
Yes.
Can we do like a pop quiz and go through all the sports teams that we have and the coaches?
Absolutely. And the person who oversees all the communication for the sports is our sports information director, Peter Dendinger. He's a wonderful asset to the team as well. But we have our football head coach, Barry Derrickson. Volleyball head coach is Annika Canaba. Women's soccer is Coach John Dominguez. Men's soccer is Coach Bailey Guffin. Women's basketball is Coach E.J. Smith. Men's basketball is Xavier Webb. Then we have softball, which is Coach Troy Canaba. And baseball, we have a brand new baseball coach, Coach Caleb Abney. And then we have two assistant coaches that serve in head coaching roles as well. The assistant baseball coach, Anthony Chavez, is also our men's and women's head cross country coach. Mm-hmm. And our assistant men's basketball coach, Coach Jake Lopez, is also our men's and women's tennis coach.
Awesome.
Did I pass? I think I passed.
I'm not going to grade you. No, that's awesome. Fantastic. So that's the full staff there. Really cool. So let's talk D2.
Yes.
Very exciting.
It is very exciting.
Can you go into what that is? And maybe a little bit of a history lesson on that.
Because
I believe we used to be D2 back in the day.
Yes. At one point we were. So I arrived here in March of 2021. And had the unique experience of us playing every single sport in March and April. And that's highly unusual, as you know. So as the athletic director in my very first season, I saw every single sport play live between March and April, except for men's basketball, which is a very unique experience. My first game winning, like my first game ball for football was on March 26th. So I feel like I should be in some kind of a record book for that, because how many ADs have that kind of a game ball experience. But so as I came into this, I didn't really know a lot about Division III, if I'm being completely transparent. And I really embraced the opportunity to learn. So there's a lot less rules in Division III than there are in Division II. But the primary difference is the ability to offer athletic scholarships.
Right.
So the other key thing for me when I was looking at... So I'm going to back up a little bit. So I'm here. I'm watching all the sports play. To be honest, that first spring was completely overwhelming because we were literally playing everything. And so that summer, I'm scrambling to try to, like, set the tone, set the bar. Like, I just kind of came in at the end of the seasons and in the previous year and didn't get an opportunity to make a lot of changes. So I am someone who likes to come in and observe. I feel like it's really arrogant for you to walk into a place and start making changes when you don't understand its function.
Right.
So I'm someone who likes to observe and go, okay, wait, we could probably do this better. We could probably do this better. And what was really strange to me, I came from Division II. West Texas A&M is in the Lone Star Conference, which is the conference that we've joined. And I felt like I was wearing shoes that didn't fit. It was very strange, but I found out later that Division III is about 85% private schools.
Oh, wow.
And private schools have the opportunity to offer aid in a way that public schools cannot. And so in some ways, Division III private schools could be compared to Division II and their ability to offer money. And so when you think about that from a competitive equity standpoint, it can never be equal. We're never going to be on the same playing field.
Right.
And the other thing that I saw happening was that our conference, the American Southwest Conference, was really shrinking. And I was sitting in meetings and I was listening to people talk about the conference shrinking, but I wasn't hearing any vision for its future and who are we going to bring in. And so I kind of started to feel like maybe we need to do something different.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so I'm really glad now that we did, because they've become a really small conference, particularly in football. But so I considered several different avenues for us. NAIA was one of them, but NAIA is not a very... It's not good for football because there's not a lot of schools in Texas that are NAIA that play football.
Actually.
And so I began to look at Division II, and I had some conversations with some other athletic directors, and I began to see that maybe that was a better option for us. And then as someone who I describe myself as a student athlete centric AD, my two favorite days are game days and graduation. So to me, the ability to invest in a student athlete's future by giving them a monetary value to go towards their education, like, it's one thing for me to stand up there and say, hey guys, you need to get a degree. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different thing when I am fiscally invested in their future. Right. And so that was really important to me, especially when I look at the fact that, you know, we are primarily first generation students. Most of our students are on grant and aid. And I really felt like I just had a heart to really try to support their education in a monetary way and to get us to a different level where maybe we could compete a little bit better in Division II. And so that's kind of where it came from in my vision, was that I just felt like we were in a place that wasn't really a good fit for us. And I didn't feel like we were ever going to be able to have competitive equity where we were before.
Got you. No, those are, you know, very considerable matters and the ways that, you know, such a move like that can benefit the student body. And, you know, I mean, people think about, you know, the surface level, which is like, you know, I mean, I'm speaking purely as an ignorant, but it seems to me that I would have probably been thinking about, like, you know, the competitive nature of, like, winning games.
Yes.
And, like, you know, even talking about scholarships as, like, a good opportunity. But there's a lot of different implications as far as how it affects the student culture.
Yes.
And mentality. And if that demographic doesn't fit within the mold of a specific organization, how do you find? And I think during the lead up to the move, and then at this point, I mean, it's just been positive, you know. And it's something that I think everyone on campus feels and experiences. And I think that's, you know, it's wonderful, and it's great to hear the background behind that.
Yes,
too.
And I scheming. Yes, and I know there's a lot of scheming. I'm telling you, I have the most strategic mind. It's crazy. It's, I can't turn it off. But I hope people feel that way, and I hope they're excited, because this is a really big deal. It's a really big thing that Sol Ross is doing, and I'm really grateful for the president's backing and everybody on campus's backing for this move, because I do think it's going to have an impact on our student body and our culture. And the other piece for me that I felt like would be really positive for Sol Ross as a university was the fact that we were going to be back in markets that we're not in right now, like San Angelo and Lubbock and Odessa, you know, areas where we could easily draw students from. Absolutely. And my hope is that as teams travel here, their parents, their grandparents, their siblings that are not yet in college, mm-hmm. come here and they're like, wow, this place is really cool. And they start to have a renewed interest in Sol Ross. That's what I'm hoping will happen. And what I've experienced so far, we've only hosted one team. Of course, it was West Texas A&M. I just had to go in with a bang, I guess.
Very surreal.
It was crazy. But they were very complimentary of Alpine, of mm-hmm. the beauty of the place. They said, we had no idea where we're going, but it's beautiful.
Oh.
And they were really excited to be here, and everyone is really pleasantly surprised. We get a lot of compliments on how beautiful the campus is and how nice the athletic facilities are. And so I feel like this was a really good move for not only athletics, but the university in general as well.
Love that. Love that. So speaking of scholarships, so forgive me for not knowing, but are students receiving athletic scholarships this semester?
They are. And Division II operates on a partial scholarship model. And so you have students that receive $300, and you have students that receive, you know, $5,000, mm-hmm. and it ranges all throughout there.
So for the student who visits campus and wants to be part of the team and come here and spend their 4 years here, how do they get recruited?
Most of the recruiting that happens for us happens between our coaches and a coach of another high school. Coaches recommend student athletes all the time, but we also have some forms on our website where if you're interested in getting recruited, you can fill out that form and it will send prospects to coaches and they can look at game film. We get emails all the time of kids sending us game film and things like that. So social media has really changed the game and how students get recruited, but that's the easiest way to do it.
Really cool. Really cool. Well, heard it here first. If you want to, you know, join the pack, that's the way to do it. Last question I have, and I've really loved the conversation today. This is addressing our current Lobos, whether they just started or whether they're almost out. How do they ensure that they succeed at Sol Ross? You know, whether it's kind of going into being a student and getting into college life or leaving and going into professional life, how do they best attack that?
I think one of the most unique and wonderful things about Sol Ross is its size. The ability for our students to actually know staff and faculty and other students on campus is a gigantic advantage for them. And for me, I don't think there's any other way, better way to get to be successful than to be connected, to get connected. And I would encourage all students, reach out to your faculty. They know that you are the reason that they're here. They're here to serve you and they want to serve you. Same thing with staff. We're so happy that these students are here and we want to talk to them. And I think sometimes for students, higher education can be really intimidating. It can be really intimidating to walk into somebody's office and ask them for help. But I tell the student athletes in the very first meeting that I have with them that I've been doing this for a really long time and I still have questions. The expectation is not that they're experts in higher education and how to navigate it. Sometimes those of us that work in higher education aren't entirely sure how to navigate it. And so ask for help. get connected to your fellow students, get connected to faculty and staff, get connected to the community. Those are the things that are going to make you want to be here. They're going to make you want to stay here. And then when you're graduating, you're going to need faculty and staff to serve as references for you. You're going to need people to help you get a job and get connected into that next thing. So my biggest encouragement would be for people to really embrace Sol Ross, get as connected as they absolutely can, and ensure that they'll be successful going forward.
Love that. Thank you so much, Amanda.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Just real quick before we close, I'm going to highlight two specific dates and time. First one is homecoming, which is October 13th through the 19th, and the homecoming game is on the 19th. Can you give us a little information about that?
Yes, the game is at 7 p.m., so it'll be really fun to play under the lights again. We don't play under the lights again until then, so that is our next opportunity to do that, and we will face Western New Mexico.
Oh, Western New Mexico, watch out. We're coming.
Yes.
And then the last thing, November 2nd.
Yes.
It's really special. We're going to have a benefit concert for our Sol Ross baseball and softball. Josh Abbott Band.
Yes.
And I keep getting this wrong. It's KJ and the 27s.
I think so.
I think
sure.
That's the name.
Yeah. No, I do. I think that's correct.
Yeah. KJ and the 27s. They're going to be playing on campus.
Yes.
Where can they get tickets at?
They can get tickets on our athletic website, srlobos.com, and there's a link to buy tickets on there.
Fantastic. Thank you again.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. Y'all take it easy and go Lobos.
Go Lobos.